Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper Reviews, brought to you by Architect. He is here. Architect of Chicagoland, our dear friends. And there's Rich right there.
I'm right here.
Yes, he's right there.
He's right there.
It's my fault. It's always my fault. All right.
They have a childproof cap on my microphone here, so Ro has to, he's the only one that has the comp.
I'm sure he's ready.
I got it. Wait, turn to the left.
He has to turn the key at the same time someone else somewhere else turns the key the other way. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
Let's get into Ready or Not, which is one of those little late summer films that's picking up a lot of momentum. It's in theaters starting, you know, basically tonight. Getting a lot of acclaim, great reviews, and great word of mouth from the advance screenings of it. This movie stars Samara Weaving. She's an Australian actress, and a real up-and-comer, as we like to say. And she's in the classic Jamie Lee Curtis horror movie heroine role. But the horror movie takes place on her wedding night. She marries into this family who have made a fortune in the gaming world. In the 19th century, they printed playing cards and then board games. And now they're so successful that they even own sports franchises. Very eccentric family. And now, on her wedding night, at the giant mansion the family lives in, she has to draw a card. And they all have to play a game. This is on her wedding night, right after the wedding. She's still got the gown on. Now, if you draw an innocuous game like checkers or chess, you just play a game with the family and that's it. But if you draw the hide-and-seek card, the hide-and-seek card, when you are when you hide and they're seeking you, they're seeking to end you because they believe they have to do a ritual sacrifice of the bride to appease the family curse. That's the setup of Ready or Not. And we got a little clip right here. This is Samara Weaving. She's the bride who now realizes they all want to kill her. And I believe this is her brother-in-law, Adam Brody. Remember, he was in one of those TV shows back in the day. A good young actor.
The OC.
Thanks. Thank you, Lauren. He's the brother-in-law that the weak alcoholic brother-in-law who kind of likes her, but, you know, is still kind of beholden to the family curse.
I just came to get a drink. I have to call the others.
No, you don't. No. You can help me, please.
This doesn't end well for you. I just don't want to be the one to serve you up.
Daniel, I'm begging you.
I'm really sorry about all this. It's true what they say. The rich really are different. I'll give you a 10-second head start.
Daniel.
1,000. 2,000. 2.5. 1,000.
She's in the study!
And there we go. One of the things I like about this movie is you mentioned that you heard them mention they're the 1%. This family, you know, the family patriarch's kind of a buffoon with a beautiful, classy wife. And he's got two sons who are kind of, you know, ne'er-do-wells but think they're really smart. And his money came from kind of a dubious source. So it might remind you a little bit of a certain American family that thinks it's royalty right now. And then we have our good old regular person who is running away from them. And by the way, they're using all sorts of 19th century weapons like hatchets and crossbows and stuff to try to kill her. And then when she gets her pieces of revenge, it's kind of fun and very, very, very bloody and really disgusting and really funny.
You said horror slash comedy.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it funny?
It's very funny, but it's funny in the kind of way where someone's like, you know, pointing the crossbow in the wrong direction and somebody walks into the room at the wrong time and whoops, and all of a sudden that person has it sticking out the back of their throat.
Does this take place in the modern day?
It does. It takes place in modern time.
But his family's been making money for 120 years.
Yeah, they believe there's a family curse if they don't offer a human sacrifice on the wedding night. They will all die at dawn. And it's almost all shot in this huge mansion, very Shining style. In fact, there's an homage to Shining, among other movies, in this movie. So it's really clever, really bloody. I mean, man, you would not believe, you know, the wedding dress, the Samara Weaving, the actress, she had 30 different bridal gowns she had to wear in this because there's so much blood and guts and goo on her. And she wears yellow Chuck Taylors to move around quickly. Because you know how brides like to do that underneath the wedding gown? Put on the comfortable shoes. Mm-hmm. 3.5 stars. It's really, I think, going to get, it's going to be a kind of surprise hit at the box office. And I think it's, the last I checked, it was 100% at Rotten Tomatoes. Because it's really, I think, taking the critics by surprise. And Samara Weaving is going to be a big star. She's in her late 20s. She's done a couple of small roles in big films. And her uncle is Hugo Weaving from The Lord of the Rings, and he was the guy that kept saying Mr. Anderson in the Matrix movies. So she comes from Australian acting royalty.
Oh, interesting. Apparently they don't have a human sacrifice thing in their family. So
no.
That's good. It's royalty.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and what did you say, Star Wars?
3.5 for Ready or Not. Like, Ready or Not,
and
here I come.
In the theaters, it's not going to just be on your TV.
It's in your you really want to see it in theaters with the crowd. I would say don't get, like, the nachos slathered with, like, sauce and stuff.
Okay.
Because you'll put those down about halfway through.
Okay.
Who knew they could explode like that?
Oh, God. All right. Okay. Let's see. Now, I've been seeing the commercial for this. The Peanut Butter Falcon. The
Peanut Butter Falcon.
I don't understand the title.
Well, you know, that's the thing. When you come up with a title like that, you got a popular food spread and a bird of prey. How do you put those two together? You better have a quirky movie that lives up to it. And I do like this. I'm giving 3 stars to The Peanut Butter Falcon. Shia LaBeouf. You know, you've heard of the Shia LaBeouf.
We have.
You know, it's kind of amazing.
He ruined my Walgreens.
He ruined your Walgreens. You know, it's kind of amazing he's only 33 when you think of all he's been through. You know, the Transformers franchises. He did
Raiders
the Indiana Jones thing, various TV shows, and then, you know, Arrested in the Walgreens, performance art, ups and downs. But he's a really good actor. He plays a North Carolina, South Carolina, coastal Carolina, I guess they call it, fisherman who's in a lot of trouble because he's stealing lobster traps and stuff like that and burning down the rivals' cages. So he's on the run, and he runs into a kid with Down syndrome, young man with Down syndrome, who has just escaped from an old folks' home he's been put in because there's no other place for him to go because of, you know, shortage of funds and that stuff. And this guy wants to become a professional wrestler known as the Peanut Butter Falcon. And that's how he becomes the thing, because the kid puts some peanut butter on his face at one point and kind of moves around like a falcon. It's basically Huckleberry Finn. In fact, they keep talking about Mark Twain in the movie. They even build a raft at one point to sail down the Carolina coast and make their way to the site of the wrestling camp. That they want to go and get this young guy, too. So it's just a fun buddy movie. The young actor, I think it's Zach Eggstrom, who plays the young man with Down syndrome, actually has Down syndrome, and it's a terrific performance. And then Dakota Johnson shows up from 50 Shades of Grey as Eleanor, the saintly social worker who joins them on their quest.
Can somebody get me out of these handcuffs?
Yeah. You know, that it's funny you mention that, because there's a scene in the movie where you think about that. She can get them out of those cuffs. They do not make a winking reference to that. She's very sweet in this. She's a good actress. So 3 stars. It's a very heartwarming adventure. This is one that people of all ages can enjoy, have a good time with. Very whimsical. Not at all based in reality. It's the story of the Peanut Butter Falcon.
All right. Oh, 3 stars, you said.
Yeah, 3 stars for that.
All right. And on the other side, After the Wedding, which is funny because we were just talking about
you
this.
Were. Yeah.
Sort of after the wedding, the bills come in.
Yeah.
But that's not what this movie is about.
No, but it kind of ties in with some of the stuff you were talking about.
Oh. All right.
All right.
All right. All right. Did anybody move? Let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Could the end of those annoying robocalls be near? We'll give you the details coming up. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Okay. All right, Mr. Richard Roper is here, brought to us by Architect. And let's talk about this After the Wedding movie. We were
after
just talking about
wedding.
How expensive weddings are to go to for the kids, for the millennials.
Well, you know, we were just talking about, you know, Peanut Butter Falcon, a creative title. After the Wedding is one of those movies that you feel like did I already see something called After the Wedding or Wedding Bell Blues
feels
or Before
like
the
it.
Wedding? The Wedding Came Later. Yeah, this is a, you know, it's got a great cast. Julianne Moore, one of the best actresses in the world. She plays a New York marketing brand expert. You know, like they always have these jobs in the movies where somebody knows how to, you know, give something, you know, brand a product, market something. And they always have like 900 people working in their offices and they all look like supermodels, male and female. And she has an office that would probably cost like $100 million in New York City. But she's very successful. She's got a big giant house. Now, in the meantime, Michelle Williams, another terrific actress. She's Isabel, the saintly woman who has devoted her life to running an orphanage in Calcutta. So there's your contrast, right? We got the super rich lady in New York. And the saint in Calcutta running the orphanage, and the woman in Calcutta, Isabel, she gets word that there's a mysterious benefactor who wants to give $2 million to the orphanage. Ooh. But the catch is that Isabel has to come to New York and make her pitch directly to the Julianne Moore character. You won't be surprised to find out there might be more to the story than that. There may be a hidden motive for Teresa, the rich woman, to bring Isabel back to New York City. Her daughter, Julianne Moore's daughter, is about to get married. She invites Isabel to the wedding, even though she's never met anybody in the family, at their giant estate. And that's when Isabel realizes that 22-year-old who's about to get married is, in fact, the daughter she gave up for adoption some 20 years ago.
Oh, no!
And I'm giving you that spoiler because I don't want you to see this movie, because then after that, there are even weirder and more arbitrary turns and twists. And Billy Crudup, who's a terrific actor, just last week he was stuck married to Kate Blanchett, who was going bonkers in Where'd You Go, Bernadette. Now he's stuck married to Teresa, the brand executive, who brings in Isabel out of nowhere. Because he's the one that had the affair with Isabel 21 years ago.
Oh, no.
So it's a soap opera. And I'm telling you, that's only one of the twists in there that are completely ridiculous. It's a great-looking film. They keep hitting us over the head with the fact that saintly orphanage manager woman, super rich, you know, flinty New York exec. What different worlds they live in. How can they come together? I don't care. Two stars. Very disappointing. It's a remake of a film from like 2006, I think, a Danish film that was better.
Oh. Well, that's. I think we're going to have to bomb them, right? Are we in the middle?
Buy them or bomb
Greenland them. Right away.
Yeah, we're going to take that away. Sorry, we're very sorry, Danes. But we have to do this. The president says so. Yeah,
is Curacao in play? They got a good little league team. Maybe Trump can buy them.
That's because it's kind of a fascinating concept.
It is kind of. You had me in the beginning with the way you described it.
Well, and Isabel, the woman who runs the orphanage, she was under the impression that the baby had been given up for adoption to strangers. But in fact, when she left for Calcutta, her lover at the time grabbed the baby at the last second and then met Julianne Moore and they raised it. But they've never told this 22-year-old woman that she actually... She just thinks that she was adopted from an orphanage, going back to the orphanage type of situation or a foster home. But in reality, he's the biological father. She never knew all of this until just now. What a terrible thing for a mother.
When he was in Stillwater, probably.
It would
have
been
about 20 years ago.
Young groupie. And you know, one of the big problems here is, okay, the Julianne Moore character, she wants to bring Isabel here because she wants, you know, the truth to come out and let her know that her grown daughter has actually been raised by Julianne Moore. But what a cruel thing to bring her there on her daughter's wedding day to everyone involved. Because the daughter doesn't know. Daughter thinks her mom died, like in childbirth.
Oh, God.
That's not the time to tell her.
The husband has no idea that the biological mom, the actual mother, the birth mother, is coming in. And the birth mother from Calcutta has no idea she's being brought back into this soap opera. She's going to meet her daughter for the first time. So it's a horrible thing for the brand management expert woman to do.
It sounds like a Maury Povich show.
So yeah, about rich people that do this stuff. So it's really disappointing. Very well acted, but no.
Oh,
stay away from after the wedding.
All right.
No gifts, please.
Okay. What do you get? Yeah. Now
there's my poll quote for the if the pub studio wants something. Richard Roper says no gifts, please. RSVP no.
Don't fly out of town for this one.
Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200, which rips us off for a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Oilers on Monday, October 14th. Single game tickets on sale right now. Over 20 game day giveaways, 5 2010 anniversary celebrations, 3 alternate jersey nights, retro hat series. You got community nights, theme ticket offers, everything you could possibly want. Go to Blackhawks.com. Choose the game you like. Choose the event you like. Choose when you're walking in the door, what you're going to get. If they got gravy boat night, get that.
I don't think they do.
Sell out gravy boat night. They don't have it this year? That was the best thing ever.
Man, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. They've got a Duncan Keith dental related night.
Yeah, they got a floss holder.
A floss holder.
Right, which I'm thinking, who needs a floss?
Well, you didn't know you needed a gravy boat either, and then you did.
Well, yeah, but I mean, who can? It was right before the holidays. Who couldn't use a gravy boat?
You already had one, probably, but this is better.
Always an issue making sure that gravy didn't get kind of lukewarm by the time it gets passed around that long table.
Putting it on a Zamboni and have all the kids in the family move it around constantly. Here you go. More gravy.
Who knew the gravy could be a toy? Anyway, go to Blackhawks.com. That's what you need to do. Go to Blackhawks.com and choose your night and buy the tickets or choose a bunch of them. I'm telling you, they are going to be great this season. I can promise you that. They got two goalies. It's like having a walrus in goal. That's how good they are. No sleepies, Duncan. No sleepies. All right. Thank you very much, Richard Roper.
Sure.